on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You've delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Come alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you who I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life in itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Come alive in you. When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You've delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. Grace, I'm free. You rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a home stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you.
Come alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you who I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high.
I found a love greater than life in itself. I want a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you.
Hallelujah. Can you clap your hands? Thank you, Lord, for all that you are.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And at this time, we, as we've been doing in Wednesday nights, the plates are in the back, and so you guys can greet each other and drop your offering off in the back.
Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up.
Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up.
Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, oh, lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yes, lift him up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up, yes, lift him up.
Give him the highest
praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him up, oh, lift him up.
Come on and lift him up.
Lift him up, oh, lift him up.
Come on and lift him up.
Lift him up, oh, lift him up.
Lift him up,
give him the highest praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up.
Give him the highest
praise, for he is worthy to be lifted up. Hallelujah. Let's continue to applaud the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to bring you up to speed. Those of you that were not available to be at the business meeting last night. We did have a business meeting. Our annual business meeting took place here at the church last night. And I am proud to say that with 100% of the vote, you guys reelected Brother Thomas Kreger as the trustee of the church, as a trustee of the church. And so I appreciate your confidence in that measure. And then in an overwhelming response of yes, we have voted to change our Sunday service format, our Sunday service schedule, if you will. The new schedule is posted there at the back. We will not start this until a week from Sunday, but what we are having this coming Sunday night is a Valentine's banquet, a fundraiser banquet. So this is open to anybody and everybody. It's $10 a ticket. If you're coming as a couple, obviously that would be $20 per couple. But any and all are welcome to come and attend this. And I will say this, we are kicking off during the Valentine's banquet. We are kicking off
what we're going to be doing on Sunday night for the next few weeks, and that is a marriage seminar. And so we want to give you kind of a little introduction into that. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. You don't have to be a couple. You don't have to be married to come. It's about communication. It's about, obviously, men and women, spouses being able to communicate. So even if you're not married or you're considering marriage or maybe, you know, just you want to know more about marriage, it is going to be good information and a resource for you to come and partake of. So we're going to kick that off on Sunday night, but we will have the Valentine's Banquet. And we're looking forward to that. It's happening from 6 to 8. If you need to purchase a ticket, you can see Sister Grimm, and she has those tickets. They are available to you to purchase. Please be reminded, we do have new church software, management software that is up and running. Brother Kellum did a wonderful job the other night in our training and teaching us how to get on online, if you will. And so this is going to become our primary source of information, communication with the church. And so all we need you to do essentially is to log in, and each of you can have a screen name and a password, and you can navigate. You can see the events, calendar, stuff that's happening, just a lot of different resources that are available concerning this local church. And so we're going to be utilizing that more and more and more. And so we're looking forward to all that's going to incorporate in what we're doing here at the church. So I want to say thank you to Brother Kellum, who has put in a lot of time. I know they're not here tonight, both younger and elder Kellums. They are at a wake for another family member that has passed away. So we're gonna pray for them, and they have experienced quite a bit of loss lately in their family. They, Sister Kellum has another uncle that they don't give too many days. They give him just weeks to live. And so, as you can imagine, going to all of these things and having these loved ones that have passed on, it's not easy. And so we're gonna lift them up in prayer here in just a few moments. Another need that I would like us to pray specifically concerning, Sister Chrissy's not here tonight. She's not feeling well. She was feeling ill last night at the business meeting. And so when I got a text from her this afternoon, she asking us to pray. She would not be here, so let's remember her in prayer. And then a friend of mine, also a pastor in our fellowship, a man that has been throughout our ranks in fellowship, served as the general youth secretary for a number of years, Brother Darrell Williams, found out last night. He went to the hospital yesterday after about 10 days of having migraines and being nauseous and having all kinds of weird sensations. And so he went in yesterday. They did an MRI. They did a CAT scan. They found out that he had a mass about the size of a large marble on the frontal lobe of his brain. Emergency surgery today. They weren't sure whether or not they were dealing with an infectious lesion or whether it was an actual cancerous tumor. I'm glad to report to you that it is not a cancerous tumor. They were able to go in and remove the lesion. It was just an infectious lesion. However, he will be about 2 weeks in the hospital, and then from that he will be about 4 to 6 weeks on bed rest with a PICC line in his skull. And so as a man in his mid-40s who is pastoring a great church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, obviously known throughout our fellowship, I talked to his brother today, who is a good friend of mine as well, and found out about how the surgery went, and told him that we as a church would be binding with, I know, many, many others throughout our fellowship praying for Williams. So let's do that. I'll try to move this around so it'll stop cutting out on me. So I want us to remember him in prayer. Also, Sister Michelle and her son Colin are traveling in New York, New Jersey. They're going to be away for a few days, so she asked that we would pray for them as they travel. So as you can tell, you look around you, there's quite a few people that are out tonight, some for reason of sickness, others for traveling, but we're going to take those needs to the Lord. Anybody else have a need that you'd like to mention to the church or pray concerning? Brother Ryan, saw your hand. Yes, remember the Gottingham family. Many of you know the family at one time. Some of them were a part of this church, but Danny Gonigam, it was her mother-in-law that was killed in a car accident. That was yesterday, correct, Brother Ryan? A fatal car accident hit by a semi-truck. And so let's remember the Gonigam family and the Gunnier family. Is that correct, the other name there? Let's remember them in prayer. Saw somebody else. Sister Robin. All right, do you happen to know the granddaughter's name? Kaylee. All right, let's remember little 2-year-old Kaylee. Yes, yeah. Let's remember a little Kaylee in prayer. Anybody else? Brother Mike? All right. Yeah, he took some medication, had an allergic reaction to it, so he's dealing with that. So let's pray for Brother Mike in that situation. Anybody else? All right, why don't you stand to your feet? And let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you in a time of need, asking you to work and to move in these situations, circumstances. Lord, I pray for the Kellum family, Lord, as they're dealing with their share of tragedy and loss of loved ones here of late. Lord, I pray that you would touch them, that you would help them. You speak peace to their heart and their lives for the Gonigan and the Gunnier families, God. Lord, the unexpected tragedy to happen and losing someone in a fatal car accident, Lord. So many questions, God, and I ask you, Lord, to be a peace, to be a help in those situations, God, to strengthen, Lord, to lift and encourage them, God. And our little Kaylee, God, as she's battling pneumonia, Lord, we pray that you would help, God, that you would intervene in that situation, raise up, God, to strengthen, God, that little life, God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you that we can come to you, God, believing and trusting in you. Lord, we pray for Brother Mike, God, dealing with allergic reaction. You're a healer of the body, God. Pray that the pain would subside, God, that you would bring deliverance and strength in that situation. Lord, we bring Brother Darrell Williams up before you in prayer. God. Lord, a friend of mine, God, a saint, God, of you, God, a preacher of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would touch him, God. You would give Lanita and his kids, God, peace in that situation. Lord, help them, God, as they navigate this with you, God. Be a strength, God. Help them, let them be a witness, God, in word and deed, God, in the trial that they are in, God, let them come forth as gold. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, we thank you, we magnify you, God. You are so worthy to be praised, God. We praise you, we thank you, Jesus, in your precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to remind you this coming Sunday morning will be regularly scheduled Sunday morning service. We will not change the format on this Sunday except for the fact that we will be having the Valentine's banquet on Sunday night. So just want to remind you of that. And then come the 19th, we will have the new service schedule in play. If you have questions about that, there's posted on the bulletin board the schedule, the new schedule that we will be having here at the church. And as I explained to them last night, it's not going to be less time together. It's actually going to be more time together. While there may be some focused teaching and some specific training geared towards certain demographics, we understand that. But we're going to do everything we can to accommodate. And we're going to have to make some switches, if you will, and do some revamping of how we have structure. And so Sunday morning, after the Sunday morning service, if I could meet with all of those that are in any teaching capacity here in the church, it won't be a long meeting. I just need to have a quick, brief meeting to kind of discuss how we're going to handle the restructuring and some ideas that maybe will help us as we all ride the learning curve together. So enough about all that. Let's get into our subject for tonight. A new subject, if you will, not new in the sense of context or content, but new in the case of what we've been studying of late. And this series, if you will, or this study, it's going to have a lot of scripture. And the reason why it's going to have a lot of scripture is because, and I know sometimes I give a thought, an idea, and then just a couple of scriptures, and then from that we springboard into maybe ideology and philosophy, principles that are based upon those precepts in the Word of God. But tonight I want to use a lot of scripture, and I want to talk about the way. I want to look at Isaiah chapter number 35 and verse number 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. I'm going to look at John 14 and 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Everybody say the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Essentially, the premise of what I want to talk about tonight is the way. The way. Singular. And Let me just say this from the onset. For those universalists, for those that believe all roads lead to one, that it really doesn't matter what you believe or how you believe it, as long as you believe, well, then you're okay. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't see that in Scripture. And I hope that as a result of this study, you will also come to the conclusion that there is only the way. There's not ways, there is the way. There is a singular way. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. And so that's fine. You can clap for that. The reason why, and you say, well, we're apostolics. You know, we believe in the way. But there's something that I want to bring to your attention, that long before there were apostolics, okay, long before there were people called Christians, before there were Pentecostals, before there were Baptists and Presbyterians and Methodists and Catholics and all, you know, we could go on and on and on and on with myriad of denominations. But before all those designations or those affiliations were brought to pass, there was a people of the way. It was called the way. And I'm gonna show you according to Scripture. Matter of fact, we find in Scripture there was a man, his name was Saul of Tarsus, who was adamant about persecuting people who were in the way. He wasn't just after Christians, because in our understanding of the Bible, the word Christian doesn't even happen until sometime later in the book of Acts. And so people were not known as Christians. They were just known as following in this that they called the way. I'll show you that according to Scripture. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. There was this the way, or this way that he acknowledged, that he understood. Now, it doesn't take much study to understand that those that were a part of the way were followers of Jesus. It was those disciples, those that were teaching, they were preaching, they were healing, they were talking about Jesus. And so Paul, or at this time his name is Saul. Saul is one of those who is adamant against the people that are in the way. He and in his mind, when we say the way, we're talking about a specific direction. In his mind, they were in the way. In other words, they were in the way of progress. They were in the way of his ideologies and his philosophies, and they were in the way of what he wanted to do and how he wanted the church to go forward. But he acknowledged that they were of this particular way. They were of this particular persuasion. They were followers of Jesus. They preached in the name of Jesus. They taught in the name of Jesus. They healed in the name of Jesus. And so Saul determined that he was going to stamp out, if you will, that he was going to, with persecution, that he was going to get them out of the way. And I know it's a little play on words there. Just, you know, bear with me. I mean, come on. He decided that he was going to find any that were in this way, any that were following the way of Jesus. And he considered it to be heresy. And so he was going to find them. He went to the high priest. He sought letters. In other words, he sought approval. He sought legal, if you will, authority to go in any speculation that he had concerning people who were teaching in this way and were affiliating themselves with the way, that he could bring them bound to Jerusalem. Because he was against this. He did not want these people that were in the way to continue to be in the way. Get it? All right, I'll stop. But look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 24. Now he's Paul. He's no longer Saul of Tarsus. Now he's had his conversion experience. Now he is himself a believer. Now he himself is in the way. He is in the way, and he admits to it. He says, but this I confess unto thee. Here he's talking to Felix the governor. He is speaking for himself on the matter as to why he is now incarcerated, why he has been taken. And they see him, the leaders of the Jews see him as an insurrectionist. They see him as one who is bringing sedition among the people, because he is in this the way. And he said, but I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. See, he first, as Saul of Tarsus, he sought to persecute those that were in this way. And now he himself confesses, I'm in this. After the way which they called heresy, that's what I'm in now. That's what I'm a part of. I worship. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things. Catch this. All things that are written in the law and in the prophets. In other words, so Paul at this time is saying, listen, I when I came to this conversion and when I decided to be a part of the way, that doesn't mean I threw out the teachings. That doesn't mean that I discredited the law or that I no longer acknowledge the prophets. No, he said, in this the way, in this that I'm a part of, I believe all things that are written in the law and the prophets. I haven't had to make any concessions concerning the law or the prophets. I believe all these things. And I do so while being in the way. And this is what he says. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's no, as a Pharisee, he was exclusive. It wasn't open to everybody. But now that his eyes have been opened, and now that he is in this called the way, now he says it's the power of God unto salvation. This gospel message is the way. The way that I was changed, the way that I became who I am now, the way that I am now in the way is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel message, the way, has brought me to where I am right now. And it's available to everybody. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's also available to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul he called himself the apostle, if you will, to the Gentiles. He readily understood his commission, if you will. He readily understood his place and bringing the gospel to even the Gentile. Now, there is something else that this apostle says, and he says it to the church at Galatia. Again, I told you there's a lot of scripture that I want to bring out in this. It's found in Galatians 1 and 8. He says this. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Apostle Paul is saying, listen, you can't add to this. You can't take away from this. If we or an angel from heaven or any other creature come preaching any other gospel than what I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Okay, can I paraphrase without changing the content of what the Apostle Paul is saying? There is only the way. There is only the gospel. And now I'm sorry if those who believe in all roads lead to one, I'm sorry, but that's not the way my Bible reads. That's not the understanding that I have according to the scriptures. There is only one gospel message. There is only one gospel message. And I dare say that maybe if we had opportunity to have Paul in our audience, and I would hope that the Apostle Paul could freely stand in this pulpit or at this lectern and say, this church still preaches the gospel that I preached. This church still believes in the way that I was a part of. I would hope that if given the opportunity, and if eternity permits it, I get the chance to sit down with the Apostle Paul, and he maybe, just maybe, will have opportunity, and he'll say, I appreciate the fact that you were in the way. Because here's the thing. It's another play on words, but if I'm going to be in the way, exclusive, if I'm going to be in the way, And guess what? That means that all the other... No, stay with me. It's not that I'm right and they're wrong. It's that the Bible is right. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's not about my opinion. It's not about my interpretation, because no scripture is of private interpretation. It's not about my interpretation. It is about what thus saith the word of God. What does the word of God say is the way? If Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, well then, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, well then, how? How do I understand and know what that way is? If that way is singular, if that way is exclusive, well then I want to know what that way is. I want to know. All roads don't lead to one. There is the way. There is the way. And I want to be in the way. I think I'm saying that enough. And here's the thing. And please understand, I'm not trying to be injurious or demeaning to other denominations or persuasions, but there's some that teach about us accepting the Lord. But the Bible doesn't teach anything. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. I challenge someone, find me chapter and verse where that is scripturally in the Bible. I will tell you, and I will show you Ephesians 1:6. Where the Bible talks about to the praise glory of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's not about me accepting him. It's about him through grace accepting me. And if he is going to accept me and I am going to be made accepted, then I've got to be in the way. I've got to be in that way by which we are accepted through grace. Yes, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I get that. I understand that. I don't work for salvation. But guess what? Salvation is a way. There is a way of salvation that Jesus has made possible unto you and to me. And so in order for me to be saved, I must be in that way. Let's keep going. Let's talk about this word gospel. Let's talk about what it actually means. We talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul references the gospel message. And so let's talk about this word gospel. What does the word actually mean? Well, we say it means good news, and rightfully so. If you were to really look at it, yes, you could come up with what it means as being good news, but it's further than that. It's not just good news. It is good news, but it's not just good news. It's an Anglo-Saxon word, God's spell, which means God's message or a good story. But if you look at the Greek word, which is euangelion, it means a present given to one who brought good tidings, or a sacrifice offered in thanksgiving for such good tidings having come. So in other words, it's not just about good news, but it's about doing something in response to the good news. It's about a present given. It's about a response to the message. It's not enough just to know the message. There has to be a response to the good news. The word is cyclical. It is a circle. So in other words, the way that is completed is just to know the good news is not enough. There is a response that has to come as a result of the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ made it possible. He is the way. But there is a response from you and I, a present that we give, a sacrifice offered in thanksgiving. We're thankful for what he's done, that he has made the way possible. And so in response to what he's done, we respond to the gospel. Does it make sense? And it's not just about hearing it. It's about responding to it. Because all through the Bible, the examples that we have, it wasn't just that people heard the word, it's that they responded to the word. And yes, the gospel, the good news, is that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead for our salvation, that through him we have salvation. That's the good news. But there's also a response to that good news. There is a sacrifice offered or a present to be given in response to those glad tidings, in response to those good things. So let's look at 1 John. 1 John 5, verses 6 through 8. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Everybody say one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. It's the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there's the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. There are parts of a whole. They are Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, the water, the blood. They agree in one. It is complete in that. Not just a separate. It's not just good enough. The Spirit, there's water and blood. Not just good enough for the water. It's got to be blood and spirit. Now, understand this. Understand what John is doing here. We understand Father. We understand the Word. The Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ. Do we not understand that this is, in understanding the progression, if you will, of this way that is made possible, the road that is paved, the way that makes possible for you and I to have salvation. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, the Word became flesh, Jesus Christ. And because the Word became flesh and paved the way for our salvation, because Jesus Christ is the way, you and I have opportunity through the Holy Ghost. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. You and I would not have access to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, had not the Word became flesh. If the Word would have never become flesh and would have just existed with the Father in the beginning, you and I would not have access to salvation. But because the Word became flesh, catch it, it's the road being paved from heaven. The Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did, we now have access to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ on earth. Catch this, it paved the way from heaven to earth. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. So let me ask you this. How then do we go from earth to heaven? The power of the Holy Ghost, accessible through the Word that became flesh. Do you and I have opportunity to live forever with the... Catch it? It's the way. It was paved. And now you and I have that way to eternity. It's the way. He goes on to say, it's the Spirit, it's the water, and it's blood. There's three elements in this way. There's three. If you want to think of them as stepping stones in this pathway or in this way, then there's three. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Spirit, water, blood. Now, say with me. So the three elements that we're talking about in this, the way. Blood, water, and spirit. Well, let's think about it in reference to Old Testament. We understand the Bible tells us that they were a shadow of good things to come. They're showing us the way. Jesus said, you search the scripture, from them you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me. They are showing the way. The Old Testament, yes. Remember the Apostle Paul said, believing all things that are in the law and the prophets? Remember that? When he confessed that he's now in the way? So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all the things that are written in the law and the prophets? So the Old Testament is just as applicable. And we understand that in the Old Testament is the type. It's the shadow. It's showing us the way. Look at it. Blood on the doorpost. Blood. Water. They were baptized to the Red Sea. Spirit. Pillar of cloud and fire that rested over the tabernacle. Well, let's look at that scripturally. And the blood shall be a token upon the houses. Exodus 12:13. Where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. 1 Corinthians, Paul writing the church at Corinth. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Three elements in the Old Testament essential for their deliverance from Egypt. Blood on the doorpost. They were baptized when they went through the Red Sea. There's a reason why they went through the Red Sea. It was a type. It was a figure. It was showing the way. And in the wilderness, as they wandered, as they walked in the wilderness, it was wherever the pillar of fire by day and the pillar of, or the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which represented spirit, wherever that went, they went. When it stopped, they stopped. Blood, water, spirit. Now see, it's not really all that difficult. When you study the scriptures and when you, it's there. It's not an enigma, just something that it takes all this to research and find. Yes, is there more? Yes. Are there wonderful things along the way? Yes. But when it comes to our salvation, when it comes to this gospel and our response to the gospel this way, there's three elements. Blood, water, spirit. Well, you think about this even in reference to atonement. Study the Old Testament, you will find that there were three things that were necessary for atonement. Three things, three pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that the high priest would go through. Three things that had to be done. He had to wash at the brazen laver, a laver of water, to wash. Before he did that, though, it was blood. Before he washed, he had to, at the brazen altar, there had to be a sacrifice. And so blood is shed. Element. Blood is shed at the brazen altar. And then he goes to the brazen laver where he then washes that blood away. Blood was representing it was an atonement. It was a sin offering. And so when he went to the brazen laver, he would wash. And then the Ark of the Covenant, where the Bible lets us know the presence of God would come. And it would meet with the high priest, the Bible says, above the mercy seat, where on the Day of Atonement, that high priest would come in, the censer in one hand, and blood in the other, and he would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. What are you saying? Blood, water, spirit. Three elements, three essential elements in the way. Now, this is an artist's depiction of what that would look like. Those things that are in black, brazen altar, the brazen laver, the Ark of the Covenant. Those were the three things that were used in atonement. Blood, water, spirit. Wait a second. You think about it in reference, obviously the top progression is Jesus Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. Brazen altar, brazen laver, Ark of the Covenant. showing the three elements: death, burial, and resurrection. The way. Now, look at what Paul also said. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the way which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are what? By which also ye are saved. So in other words, the gospel. I'm saved by being in the way. I'm saved by participating in the way. Jesus Christ made salvation. He paved the way for you and I to have access. We are reconciled unto the Father by Him. He paved the way for you and I to be saved. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I declare unto you first of all, that which I also received. Here it is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and how that He was buried. The Bible tells us that we are buried with Him in baptism, that's water, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Blood, water, Spirit. That Spirit which raised up Christ from the dead shall dwell in you and will also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that is within you. Blood, water, Spirit. He made it possible. Father, Word, Holy Ghost, you and I. And now you and I have access to salvation through the way which Jesus made for you and me. That gospel message. And here's how I properly respond to the gospel. It should be no surprise that it's going to be three elements: death, burial, and resurrection. Should be no surprise: blood, water, Spirit. It's there. It's throughout the Bible, even in the Old Testament, even in the tabernacle. That way is there. It's not hidden. It's pretty plain. It doesn't take much looking. It's obvious there, according to Scriptures, what the way is. It's death, burial, and resurrection. You say, man, you guys always talk about Acts 2:38. Yes, we do. Because when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he was questioned, he and the rest of the apostles, or disciples, whatever you want to call them, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Understand that Peter has just preached Jesus unto them. He has just preached the good news. But just hearing the good news isn't enough. There has to be a sacrifice, or there has to be a present that is given in response to that good news. A show of thanksgiving. A response to the good tidings that are given. I'm thankful of the good tidings that Jesus is the way, that He did what I could not do, that His sacrifice was sufficient for me to have salvation. And in thanksgiving and in response to that understanding, and in the acknowledgement of that way that He has made possible unto you and to me, there is a response. Then Peter said unto them, repent. What is repentance? You don't have to do much study. You'll find out it's a death. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's burial. We are buried with Him in baptism. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Spirit. Resurrection. And so you and I have opportunity. There is only the way. I'm sorry. Now, let me just say this. So you're telling me that if I have not repented of my sins, been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that I am not saved. First of all, let me make this abundantly clear. I am not God. What I believe has absolutely no bearing on your salvation whatsoever. And I don't care who says. I don't care who. Please understand me. It does not matter who may tell us that we are saved. Someone telling me that I am saved does not make me saved. I'm sorry. I cannot tell anyone you are saved or you're not saved because I'm not God. He never asked me to be a judge or a jury. He only asked me to be a witness. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me. And so the only thing I can do is point you to the Word of God and say, I believe the Word of God shows the way. I believe that it is through blood, water, and spirit. I believe that it is through death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that the Word of God shows the way of salvation to be repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I believe that that is the way. Well, I don't believe that. Well, thankfully, my salvation is not contingent upon your belief. So you're telling me if I have loved ones that didn't believe like this, that they're lost. No, I'm not. You won't hear me say that. I don't determine their eternal destination. I've had people say, well, if I believe that, then that means I have loved ones who are not saved. I said, well, again, my response is this. Your belief has absolutely no bearing on the eternal destination of anybody else but you. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what others believe. My salvation is contingent upon my belief. And I need to make sure that my belief aligns with the Word of God. For the Word of God shows the way. Well, then you're saying those individuals that say I'm saved another way, they're lying to me. No. I'm just telling you that God is true. And His Word is the way. And if you want to, it's eternity, folks. It's forever. The Bible instructs us, make your calling and election sure. I want to make sure. And if the Bible shows me that this is the way, then I want to be in the way. I want to be in that way that Jesus had made possible unto me. Because Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. And I know we've probably sung it maybe as Sunday school, one way to God. Oh, well, that doesn't bode well in our day and age because you're being exclusive. You're being intolerant of other beliefs and other persuasions. No, I'm simply saying that's what the Word of God says. I'm simply saying the Word of God shows me, even in the Old Testament, what the way is. I'm simply saying that I believe that the way is through death, burial, and resurrection. That we follow His example as the Bible says. That we die in repentance. That we're buried in water baptism. And that we are resurrected to a new life through the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And that, my friend, I believe is the way. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Be continued. So let's, in the next few weeks, we've talked about death, burial, and resurrection, blood, water, spirit, and we're gonna delve even deeper. I know you say, well, man, this is old stuff. Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. We know this backwards and forwards. Well, that's great. We need to revisit it. We need to make sure. There's a lot of voices in this world. And let's just face it, there's a lot of individuals that would try to persuade you and I to believe something other than what the Word of God says. And I refuse. You want to know why? And I've said this before, I'll continue to say it again. Yes, I understand. I'm a fifth generation apostolic Pentecostal. But there had to come a point in time in my life where that affiliation didn't matter as much to me as finding out what the Word of God says. And the reason why I remain an apostolic Pentecostal is because it is, according to what I read in the Word of God, it is the belief system that most follows the way. Do we have everything right about everything? No, none of us do. But when it comes to the way to make heaven our home and to be in the way of salvation, I believe that our doctrine, and I even hesitate to say our doctrine, because it's not our doctrine, it's the Bible's doctrine. We just ascribe to it. As apostolic Pentecostals, as those that believe in the gospel message in Acts 2:38, repentance, baptism in his name, and the infilling of the Spirit, I still believe. Well, I just don't believe that's essential to my salvation. Okay. Well, if you're willing to base your eternity upon that, that's fine. I believe it is essential to my salvation. I believe it's essential. I believe it so much that I repented. I believe it so much that I went down in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. And I believe it so much that I was Spirit-filled with the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Now again, so you're saying you're saved. Well, we know how I feel about that word saved. Yes, I'm saved. I'm being saved, and I will be saved. But this is the way. This is the way. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word. I thank you that you teach, God, and your word simplistically shows, God, what it takes, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if anybody here would question, Lord, whether or not they have done those things, God, according to your word, God, that they have participated in the way, Lord, I pray, God, that with sincerity out of heart, and they would truly come before you, God. Well, not because I've said it, Lord, and because they would search the scriptures for themselves, that they would see, God, Lord, that they would make sure their response aligns, God, with what you have done, that we would be in your way. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.